Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Top Order Podcast. IPL 14 coming up very, very soon, kicking off on the 9th and 10th of April, I believe, with opening ceremony and opening game. We've got eight teams in the tournament this year. We're going to do what we did last year and run through a preview. This is episode one of our preview show. We're going to talk CSK. We're going to talk Delhi Capitals, the Knight Riders and the Punjab Kings, all coming up very, very shortly. Guys, so first of all, let's set the scene. So I'm going to go over to resident preparer and over-preparer Michael Xavier Baldwin. You're going to give us a little bit of an overview of the tournament, Baldy.
Yes, IPL 14, or for legal reasons, the Vivo IPL 2021. So the 14th edition of the India Premier League will be hosted in India this year. So last year, for COVID reasons, went across to the United Arab Emirates. But it's back in India this year. Double round robin as per last year. So 60 games in total, including the very convoluted final systems. Eight teams, as you mentioned, Adam. There'll be two new teams in the 2022 version of the IPL. But
so we'll preview them next year.
Preview them next year. You'll have to wait 364 days for that. Teams have been renamed. So the Kings 11 Punjab have been renamed as the Punjab Kings with a new logo. And six venues. So no crowds at the start of the tournament, but they're BCCI will make a decision later on in the tournament as to whether or not crowds will be allowed in the M. Chinnaswamy Stadium, the Arun Jaitley Stadium, the Narendra Modi Stadium, Wankhede Stadium, M.A. Chidambaram Stadium and Eden Gardens. Now, I may have got the second one, last one incorrect there because I tried to do it really fast. I apologise to the good people of Chennai.
It's weird they've been in and out, haven't they, the fans for the cricket in India. So the recent England-India games, crowds absent from those, whereas they did have, I think, half capacities in for a period of time. So, yeah, in and out of lockdowns and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, so eight teams, six venues. So they'll move from bubble to bubble effectively. They'll have a couple of bubbles going on at any one time, play a few games and then move on to the next venue.
And do we know if families are with the players in those bubbles this year? I know they were out in the Dubai hotels. I don't know whether that's the case because that's going to make a difference to bubble life, you would have thought.
Well, and especially for... I can't answer that question, but especially for some of these guys. I mean, you think about the New Zealand guys, they're going to be going from the IPL, then they're going to go straight to England and do the test series over there, and then the World Test Championship. Then I believe they're in September. I think they've got a series against Pakistan or some white ball stuff in the subcontinent. So, yeah, there's going to be a long time away for some of these guys.
I can't remember if in – because the biosecurity protocols have been released for the IPL, which include a seven-day quarantine period for teams that – or for players that aren't already in – a bilateral bubble. So the India and England guys are already in a bubble, so they're okay. They can go straight into training. anyone that comes into the country will need to do 7 days quarantine unless they were already in a bio bubble, but I can't remember if there were families involved in that or not.
And Lippy, some new rules coming in. So none are quite as convoluted as the Big Bash Bucket Bonanza or whatever it was called and the Super Sub X Factor Power Hop. But yeah, what have we got in terms of these new rules?
No, well, they're very sort of, I think they've been quite reactionary rules, and one of them is just, they're mainly around umpiring, and it's the third umpires to review the short run, which actually, if everyone thinks back to last year, played a very big part in one makes of the sense. Games for Kings 11, who were kind of robbed of, well, not necessarily robbed of a victory.
Well, it led to their names change as well, you know, it could have been the reason.
Exactly. So no balls and short runs can be overruled, I think, by the third umpire. So I think they just carry on, and yeah, hopefully we just get that siren every time the no ball comes in.
Cause surely that's just a sponsor thing, isn't it? They're going to have the DLF short run siren, yes.
I've really enjoyed that over the Indian season. But the one that I thought was quite funny, and mainly because Virat Kohli's just been talking about it nonstop, is that the umpires are no longer going to be doing a soft signal on field. I think purely because Virat Kohli's been so against it and talking about how ridiculous it's been in this England series. But I think, you know, as the tournament playing along, it's not going to make much difference. I think if we look back to last year, Mumbai, to me, won it in an absolute canter. They, you know, we think about all the sides, they all had times when they were all in the mix for playoffs at various points. Even probably CSK was the one that wasn't there. But Mumbai, to me, felt incredibly strong and just consistent throughout the year. So it'll be interesting to see such a short turnaround, I guess, for the sides, whether they can continue some of that momentum or whether we're going to actually see a completely different tournament now that it's back in India and conditions being different.
So we'll start our preview with alphabetical order, just so that we can't be accused of any bias. So I think that makes the Chennai Super Kings the first cab off the rank. So what do we think about the Chennai Super Kings?
Well, the biggest thing for me is that last year was such a disappointment for them. I think maybe the first time they'd missed the playoffs in all of their history, uncharacteristically poor season. They were pretty much out of it at the halfway point. I think we were trying in our IPL previews to kind of say, oh, CSK is going to turn it around now. CSK is going to be, you know, they've got so much talent in their pool that it's going to come good, but they just never did.
And they didn't finish bottom, though, and they looked like they were going to finish bottom for most of the tournament, so there's a plus for them.
Yeah, and they actually finished reasonably strong and playing some of those younger guys. You know, we look at their side, and we talked, I think, a lot last year in their preview around the experience that they have, the likes of Dhoni, who came under huge criticism last year for the way he played in the IPL, and I guess the thing that's been so strong about him has been his pacing in innings. He's always been the master of pacing in innings. But, yeah, people were very critical of the way he did that last year and running out of time and not putting himself up the order and kind of just almost felt like he was shying away from the responsibility at times. But they're a side that looked so, you know, really poor at times last year, to me, feels a bit stronger this year for a few different reasons.
And best 11, do you think, for the CSK? Have we got that far that we're going to nail that down, or do we want to talk about some players to watch first?
Well, I think for them, a couple of big ins for them. Suresh Raina returns after missing the tournament. He was someone who, sort of strange personal reasons, it never got quite clear. There were a few different theories out there, but for whatever reason, he didn't want to be a part of the IPL last year. He's back, and he actually, to me, provides a lot of balance to their side. They really struggled for runs at times, and pretty much if Faf didn't get runs, their side just kind of was very heavily reliant on Sam Curran, which was not someone that they were expecting to be relying on for so many runs. So having him return is very big. And they've also been one of the big spenders at the auction. They signed Moeen Ali and they've signed Krishnappa Gautam, who, you know, both all-rounders. And that's a real feature of their side. There's just all-rounders everywhere. There's those two. There's Curran. There's Bravo. Even throw Santner in the mix. Jadeja. There's a lot of people who can kind of fill that 4 to 8 range and chip in a few overs. A
couple of interesting ends for me. Cheteshwar Pujara Yeah. Test batsman has been awarded a contract for CSK, and also Harishankar Reddy, the all-rounder, been awarded a contract for CSK, which I'm sure will make Jeeve happy on my right.
Really low base price for Pujara, though, only 50 lakh. So, yeah, obviously trying to get a foot in the door of that format.
Yeah, back into the squad, you would think. I don't know that he would play much, Stuart, do you think? Even with Shane Watson retiring, and also another one of the big guys that played a lot for them last year, Murali Vijay, also released for CSK this year.
Yeah, look, I mean, if we're talking about players to watch and things, I think Rituraj Gaikwad is the one, because he came in last year. He played the final six games, I think, scored 350s.
He looked good.
And he looked really good. And we touched on him, I think, briefly as sort of a young player to watch last year, and it took him a long time to get his opportunity. They didn't really give him a chance until they were pretty much out of the tournament, and looked really, really good. And I think he'll be someone that they'll be looking forward to really push on, because we saw so many young players kind of break out in that last version of the IPL.
Interestingly, though, Piyush Chawla, most expensive player in the 2020 auction, released at the end of the season. Mm. So an interesting move for CSK, kind of cleaning house a little bit and starting a little bit afresh, you would think, with some younger players led by the ever-experienced evergreen MS Dhoni.
Well, it's not all young. You look at Moeen Ali, Gautham, the guys that they brought in.
The young Indian guys I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and you're right. I think the biggest thing they're going to have to figure out really is the balance of their side and all those all-rounders.
Well, my question is actually around the overseas players. There seems to be a lot of money here tied up in the overseas players who they can only have four of in any one game. I'm not sure what their best side looks like.
Yeah, well, let's run through them. So there's Moeen, there's Faf, there's Sam Curran, there's Dwayne Bravo, who was injured last year, only played about six games. There's Ngidi, there's Hazelwood, Santner, Tahir. Tahir feels like the one that's probably not going to play, even though in a few years ago he was, you know, one of their bright lights. But with the balance of their side, it feels like he's out of the reckoning. But everyone else in that list, to me, is in the mix. I think Santner probably be the one that also doesn't play very much, but he's been great for New Zealand.
He's got a great white ball record in general. The other one there you did mention was Dwayne Bravo. Mm-hmm. In that recent series against Sri Lanka, he bowled really well. He actually turned that second 2020 around.
Did he make runs in that series as well? Was that just me?
Not really. His bowling was where his X factor was, but he's definitely worth playing, even at the age of 37.
Yeah, for me, Curran, because he offers that option at the top of the order, and that's where he finished the season, showed his undoubted class in this most recent one day, scoring 95 at number eight, and gives you a real wicket-taking option. So does swing the new ball a little bit, but actually finds a way, even at his pace, to burgle you big wickets. The other signing I really like, or the other guy that I really like, is Ngidi. He is rapid, and I think, you know, we'll go on to talk about it, I'm sure, but pace bowling options have actually been where the checkbook's been flashed the most. Mm-hmm. But a base price of just 50 lakh for Ngidi back when he was picked up in, I think, 2018. You know, that's a sensational bit of business from them.
Ravindra Jadeja is also a big part of their squad. What's his fitness like? Do we know anything
about
that?
Yeah, he's back fit. Yep, he's back fit. He's just joined their bubble now, their training bubble. And he undoubtedly needs to play a big part, because last year his bowling in particular just got hammered every time he come on to bowl, and he didn't even really get used. He'd come on, he'd bowl one over, get hit for 15, and then just hardly get used again. But the Bully, you want to jump in?
I was going to jump in. Do you think that's a function of the conditions that they played in Dubai and Abu Dhabi and Sharjah? Because some of those grounds weren't really conducive to finger spin.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, when you look at the top five wicket takers and the leading wicket takers from last year's IPL, it's Bolt, it's Rabada, it's Archer, it's Bumrah.
Seam and swing.
It was all the seamers that played the big role. I think Chahal was up there as maybe one of the only spinners who took a lot of wickets. But yeah, I mean, I think back to your point about Curran, Binksy, to me that he has to open, or he has to bat at least, well, I mean, opening's the most logical spot for him, because then you bat him and Gaikwad, you have Faf, Rayner, and then you can kind of go into, you probably have to have Dhoni there if you want to make use of him as a batsman, and then you've got Jadeja, Ali, Gautham, and you actually have a really deep batting lineup, which, you know, but we talked about in the IPL last year, once you get about past six, do they actually have an impact for you?
I actually wonder if this year we're going to see Mahendra Singh Dhoni bat at eight and he's actually a leader He is their talisman, and the other guys will bet above him. He may bet in a chase where they need to get like 80 off 50, and he comes in that kind of situation and goes, you know what, I'm gonna pace this chase home. But I actually think if they bet first, you think you might see the more explosive guys like Jadeja, like Mo Ali, like Gautham, bat above him.
He might take the new ball. He bowls some little seamers.
Maybe he will.
Well, talking about seamers, I think a big in for them is Takur, because Takur to me feels like he's someone who's gone from strength to strength in the last 6 months, 9 months. He's been someone that was kind of on the fringes, it seemed like, of that Indian side. He's now had a lot more opportunities to play, and he's starting to have a real impact. And you know, they're bowling. They're going to need someone like Ngidi and Hazelwood to be one of those leaders. Mm. They've got Takur. They've got Deepak Chahar. They're going to need to chip off the top, because their spin is really where their bowling strength is. If you look at Jadeja and Moeen Ali and Gautham and stuff like that.
And you mentioned Dhoni before. Is there a chance that he doesn't play coach's decision?
Well, that would be a big call. I think it's just so interesting for someone like him, because he's been such a legend, and you want to see him go out on top, or at least at a peak of their game and performing and still doing something well and contributing to a victory. I think it would be quite sad if that happened and his career kind of peters out. So
yeah, and look, my understanding is he was one of the first to turn up for training, and he's been working, you know, really, really hard. And I think, look, for me, he earns the right to start with the jersey, doesn't he? I think. And look, only he will, you know, he will know, like all legends of the game, they know when to call it a day as well. And I think, you know, he will probably make that call at the right stage.
After all that chat, so, I mean, I would say that my prediction for them is still that I think they'll probably just miss out on the playoffs. I think they'll be a much more competitive side. I think that those all-rounders and things that they've brought in, that they've made some good recruits. Like I said, I think Gaikwad is primed for a big season. But, yeah, I still feel like probably they're just missing some specialists. You know, we've touched on all the all-rounders they have and all the different people, but unless Suresh Raina can get, and Faf du Plessis can get a bulk of runs in that middle order, they're going to need someone to just get runs, and they don't have that absolute specialist like a lot of these other teams do.
So we'll do this for each of the sides. One word answer. What's your prediction in terms of where they finish on the table, Lippy?
Sixth.
Raj?
Sixth.
Baldy?
Yeah, sixth. Interestingly, though, do you want to talk the odds quickly?
That's more than one word.
Sixth.
Sixth. I've gone fifth. Let's talk about the odds.
Okay, let's talk about the odds. So as it stands right now, the Chennai Super Kings are paying $7.50 to win the tournament outright.
Yep.
They sit fourth right in that list of odds.
Yep.
Equal fourth.
Yep. Well, there you go. Some of us are going to be two wrong, and one of us might be one wrong. Let's move on to the Delhi Capitals. So they've retained their name. Is that right?
They've retained their name and their coach and a bunch of players. They've got a bunch of new players too.
Quite a few good players.
Couple of good players. So let's talk about the ins and outs for the Delhi Caps. So interestingly, a couple of high-profile names have been released from the Delhi Capitals. Jason Roy, Alex Carey, Daniel Sams, chief amongst them. Also Sandeep Lamachain, Tushar Deshpande, and Harshal Patek also have been either released or traded. So Sams and Harshal Patek have been traded to RCB, and all the rest of those guys have been released. But they've picked up Umesh Yadav from RCB. They've picked up Sam Billings. They've picked up Tom Curran, who now has Sam Curran's hairstyle.
It's actually ridiculous. I think we should, I mean, Raj mentioned in the last podcast, but it's actually ridiculous that they've just swapped haircuts.
I definitely think that there is a potential Diamond Heist lookalike situation going on. There's that kind of Ocean's 11 looky-loo type
situation.
It's unnerving.
Let's move on.
And they've picked up Steve Smith as well. So the Delhi Capitals have got a quite new-looking side. Interesting.
What do you think Smith, sorry to divert you, but what do you think Smith's role is going to be in this side?
It's going to be interesting because Shreyas Iyer is out of the tournament by the look of it. From what I read online this week, and I don't have confirmation of that from multiple
breaking
independent
news
sources, but it looks like, according to at least Wikipedia, if not one other internet source in my half-assed internet research, that Shreyas Iyer is going to be out of the tournament, which means that they need someone to bat alongside Rishabh Pant in that top order.
And they need a skipper.
And they need a captain. So It's going to be interesting to see what they do in terms of their makeup. So my best 11 has Prithvi Shaw and Shikhar Dhawan opening the batting again. And we'll talk about Shikhar Dhawan in a little bit. They've got a spot there at 3-4 for someone like Stephen Smith or Sam Billings. Rishabh Pant will probably bat at 4 in that lineup now, I would think, unless he goes up to number 3. And then you've got Marcus Stoinis and Ajinkya Rahane kind of in that middle order somewhere floating about. Maybe Rahane goes up to 3 and, you know, they fiddle around with that middle order and Steve Smith or Sam Billings finishes. And then you've got some all-rounders. So you've got a choice between Tom Curran and Chris Wokes at number 7 for that all-rounder spot. You've got both Axar Patel and Ravi Ashwin to bowl spin for you. And then they've got Ishant Sharma, assuming he's fit, and Kagiso Rabada, who did a fantastic job for them and led their attack last year. So,
but they've also got Norkia, haven't they?
He was excellent last year. You're not picking him?
Yeah, so that's going to be the tough decision that they've got to find in the balance of their side. Without Shreyas Iyer, they've got to use one more overseas player in their batting lineup, and then how are they going to fill those bottom five players if they can only pick two bowlers?
How come you haven't picked Marcus Stoinis to open the batting? We know that's his best position in the short game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. And I think if you have a look at the Australian side and the Big Bash, that's where he's done his best work. He did really well in the IPL when he opened the batting, in my view. But I don't think he's going to unseat either Prithvi Shaw, who's a young player who I think will probably stick with his spot, or Shikhar Dhawan. Because if you drop Shaw, then you've got to find another Indian batsman to come in after him.
You won't drop Shaw. He's been scoring a ton of runs.
Exactly. He's amazing, eh? He scored 800 runs in 7 games, something like that.
How much do you think the money comes into it? Because he's a, you know, they only signed him last year, Stoinis, for 4.8 crore. So, you know, he's on some decent coin. Do you think that comes into the decision-making process? And I know it's not going to really matter to the owners who they're paying match fees to, but do you think they think about that? You don't spend that amount of coin on, you know, someone to sit them on the bench after a year, do you?
No, maybe not. But I like, Stoinis will play. It's just what role he fills in that side. So whether or not he bats at, you know, 1-2, he batted at 3 for Australia, and maybe that's the spot that he bats in this side. And then you bat Rahane and Punt, and maybe Sam Billings becomes a finisher for them, along with Tom Curran. So they've got some questions about that 3-4-5-6 spot. But, you know, Ricky Ponting will have that sorted out, because I think they've got one of the best coaches in the business in Ricky Ponting for that team.
And they were one of the best performers last year. I mean, absolutely. Let's not forget they were in the final against Mumbai last year. But they started the season really well and faded away a bit at the end.
Yeah, injuries and form of Shikhar Dhawan really was a little bit up and down. When he was scoring hundreds, you know, debut 100, back-to-back hundreds for Shikhar Dhawan in that tournament, had them flying high and they were really on top of the world. But Prithvi Shaw had a pretty poor tournament by his now lofty standards.
Oh, I think it was a poor tournament by anyone's standards. It was dreadful, wasn't it? And it saw him get dropped from the India side.
And he's back. So, I mean, the thing for me about this team and why they can win the tournament is that they know that they can make the playoffs now and perform at that level. And Ricky Ponting will be drilling that into them and go, use guys have got... Sorry.
Use guys.
Use guys.
Brilliant. I love
wow.
it.
Wow. My use guys have... No, that's not how Ricky Ponting speaks.
You're going to ask me to cut that out.
It's got to stay in. We are 100% not cutting that. Let's just make sure this continuity-wise stays in. All of us talk now so that we can leave that bit in.
Look, they will have the self-belief to know that they can go all the way in the tournament. And with Punt, with Dhawan, and with Prithvi Shaw, they've got 3 top-order locally grown batsmen who can do the job, and they're going to have to. Because without Shreyas Iyer in there, they're going to have to score the bulk of the runs for them. But, you know, Rishabh Pant and Prithvi Shaw, they're the 2 X factors for mine on that side.
Punt's been the level that Punt's kind of elevated himself to in the last 6 months is unbelievable. It feels like he's just made such a progression in his game. You kind of expect him to explode every time he comes to the crease.
And that's why this side is so dangerous for mine. Like, we had a look at this side last year and it was roughly the same side. And we're like, well, could they finish 5th or are they going to finish 1st? Like, that's their range to me. Their bottom is about 5th if they don't perform to their expectation. But if Punt and Prithvi Shaw have good tournaments, they could be right up at the very tippity top again, I think.
I was listening to a podcast with James Anderson and talked about that reverse sweep that Pant played against the new ball in a test match and then repeated the same dose to Jofra Archer. And Anderson's response was, you know, at the time I was a little bit grumpy, but when I watched it back, you've just got to admire the skill level. And then to see him do the same thing to Jofra Archer, the guy's a genius. He's, you know, he's Picasso, isn't he? From a batting perspective.
If Rishabh Pant, if he goes and says, I want to open the batting, do you think that he has that kind of sway?
He has that cachet? I don't think so. I think if he said, I want to bat at 3, they would go, yep, absolutely. But I don't think you can drop Schicker. I don't think you'll drop Shaw.
Not to start with.
Yeah. I think because Shaw's got 800 runs and seven bats in their, you know, their domestic tournament. So I think he's got first dibs. But I can't see a better number four than Rishabh Pant at the moment. So I think I'd stick with him there. He seems to like batting there.
And we've not even mentioned Shimron Hetmyer as well.
No. I mean, there's a lot of overseas players. Billings, Curran, Wokes, Hetmyer.
Billings won't play.
Nor Kia.
How do you get rid of Jason Roy and bring in Billings? Sorry.
I can only assume that they want lower order batting. They want 5-6 batting rather than 1-2 batting. I can only assume that that's what they're going for.
Well, and Billings and Hetmyer are their insurance for a punt injury, aren't they?
Yeah,
and
they are.
That's kind of what set them off last year, wasn't it, when Punt got injured and they had to kind of completely change the balance of their side.
And that gave them a bit of a shake-up. I mean, Norkia last year was fantastic. Awesome. He was really, really good. So the guys that aren't going to play are quality cricketers, and that's what makes them scary.
Before we go to the TAB, then let's have one word. Where are Delhi going to finish for you, Lippy? We'll start.
Oh, I think they're second again. I mean, I think they're awesome side. And I don't want to spoil who I think will be first. But, yeah, if one side for me wasn't above the rest, this would be the one.
I think they're third.
I agree with you, Raj. I think they're third. I think they're third by a hair.
Yeah, I've got them second. What does the TAB think?
The TAB has the Delhi Capitals second, paying $450.
Righty-ho. So in alphabetical order, we move on. We're going to talk the KKR, so that's the Kolkata Knight Riders. So that's a team that I've been asked to do the prep for. So whilst I grab my sheet of paper here with a few notes. Look, the thing for me, I genuinely think these guys are my sort of dark horse for the tournament. Well captained by Owen Morgan. Dinesh Kartik started as skipper last year. Morgan, obviously the man in possession of the C for England, but coached by Brendan McCullum. I think they've recruited pretty well in terms of some guys with some IPL experience. So Ben Cutting, who had been a big part of that Mumbai Indian side, is in and around the squad. They've also, I think, got a couple of real guns when we talked about that pace piece with Lockie Ferguson and Pat Cummins. The return of Shakib Al Hassan as well, so gives them a really good spinning option. And then that's not to mention Sunil Narine and also the crowd's favourite
Bhaji.
Big Dre Russ.
Well, and they've got Bhaji as well. Bhaji's come across from CSK.
So Bhaji coming in at 40 years old. So I think that's a bit, really, really big call. But I think he can still perform. And also from an Indian perspective, Karan Nair, I think a big signing for them to fill one of those Indian spots as well. So finished fifth in 2020. I actually rate them as a chance, particularly if they can get... if they can get Lockie and Pat Cummins fit and available for selection and big Dre Russ, I mean, you can't beat Dre Russ, can you?
Can you please rank your spin bowlers in order, the top four? Thank you.
My spin bowlers in order of the top four. I'm going to struggle because my Apple Macs just crashed. So I've only got three of them written down. For me... look, I actually think Shakib is my number one spin bowler. I think he's absolutely sensational in this format of the game. I then think it's really, really hard. My heart goes with Narine just because he's really performed on that stage. And then I'm going Yadav, and then I'm going Harbhajan Singh, who's there as a sort of a mentor sort of role for me. That would be my four. I'm going to throw it back to you though, Raj, because you've obviously got an opinion on it, given you're throwing that question across.
Yeah, I'm just going to follow up to that. Thank you, Binksy. So I guess if you're playing Shakib, you're playing Pat Cummins, you're playing Lockie Ferguson, that's three of your overseas players there. So now Narine, I see, has been dropped to the spin bowling ranks rather than the all-rounder he was labelled last year. Then you have Owen Morgan and Dre Russ left over. These are all people that you want in your team.
Yeah, look, I don't think you're going to get a full tournament out of Dre Russ. I don't think you're going to get a full tournament out of Lockie and Pat Cummins. So I think that, you know, we've talked a little bit about what to expect in terms of the wickets and the fact that pace will play a role. So it's going to be really, really difficult for them to balance that side. But the thing I like is they've just got lots and lots of options.
Can I throw another name in there that we haven't mentioned yet? And he did a really good job in the last T20 tournament. That was Varun Chakravarthy, the leg spinner.
Yeah, breakout tour for him.
Really, really good tour. I mean, he was on the verge of Indian selection,
yeah,
really, at the end of that tournament. Not a name that we talked about last time, but I think he was really good. I think if you need a spin bowler that's a non-overseas player, I think he's the guy that you're going to have in that side.
Oh, I think he'll be in the 11 to me. He'll definitely be there because, they've got such depth in their overseas players that they're going to have to find a solid core of their Indian-based players that are going to contribute.
And they've got Kuldeep as well.
Yeah, look, what do we make of how he's bowled recently? Because you've had quite a soft spot for him, Baldy, but
I have, but his performances in this last series against England haven't justified my I may be alone on Kuldeep Island, I think, but I really like him as a wrist spinner. I think he has tremendous value. I'm not sure what balance of games they're going to play on spin-friendly wickets for KKR. So that's going to be, I think, a deciding factor.
I think he just bowls in the slot too much. Doesn't
he does. He does tend to be slappable, I think, is the social cricket word for it.
And New Zealand connection, so Tim Seifert on the plane there. Can't really see him getting too much game time.
No, you wouldn't think so. I mean, great experience for him to be there and great for, you know, for New Zealand cricket, for him to be there, for him personally to be there. I mean, Brendan McCullum, he's talked about how Brendan McCullum's someone that he idolises. I know Brendan has a lot of time for Tim Seifert, and you know what? It's great for him to be learning off someone. If Tim Seifert can turn into half the cricketer Brendan McCullum actually was, then we've got a great player there for New Zealand going forward in the white ball stuff. But yeah, it feels hard. I mean, you would just mention the Morgan, Shakib, Cummins, Nareen, Ferguson, Andre Russell. I think those six are your guys that are going to be fighting out for those four spots.
So tougher than the overseas selection conundrum is the prediction. So before we go to our well-known betting site, others are available, of course. We won't name them, especially when it's a Dream 11 IPL. Is it Dream 11 anymore? No.
No, it's the Vivo IPL 2021.
So, okay, fair enough. We can call it the TAB then. But from a...
We don't get just blanked out on the TV like when they go to the NRL stuff.
So from a prediction perspective, Lippy, where are you placing the KKR?
I actually have them in fourth. I think that they have a lot of, like you said, I think they have a lot of explosive game winners. We saw someone like Shubman Gill just take off last year and, you know, become the cricketer that he's become and a real force for India. So I think they can finish in the playoffs this year.
Five.
I have them at seven.
Oof. Big spread. I've got them at three, but that is because they're my dark horse, so I've got to have them up there. Three for me. What about the bookies?
The bookmakers have the Kolkata Knight Riders paying $8 in sixth position.
Sixth position. Guys, so I think we've got to commit to our listeners. We're going to put our money where our collective mouth is. So we will stick up on social our starting teams for the teams that we've selected as well and see how close we get come opening night. In the last of our predictions for the first part of this IPL preview show, though, we're going to go to the newly named Punjab Kings, formerly the Kings 11 Punjab. So first of all, I want to know what's behind the name change.
It's a new start. It's a startup.
It's a startup. Yep. Yeah. Sorry, I think that may have been my my machine. It's going off and on again. But yeah, what's behind the name change?
They decided to change it.
Yeah, we don't actually know. Maybe they're trying to get rid of all that bad luck they had in the last tournament.
Or maybe they've put in a rule that it's like on alphabetical, something. No, that wouldn't work, would it?
No.
Unless it was reverse alphabetical.
Anyway, thanks for that intro.
That's smooth.
Yeah. So
smooth as silk.
The Punjab Kings, I guess they're one of those teams that maybe hasn't performed over the last few years or is one of the weaker sides. That's how they performed last year. We predicted it last year, and that's sort of how they performed. From an ins and out perspective, ins and outs perspective, they were one of those sides that went out really hard after those genuine quick bowlers. So they've picked up Jai Richardson and Riley Meredith and got a real bargain for David Milan at his base price. I think that's a great pickup.
Do you think he plays?
I'll get to it in a second. I've got him in my 11. I do. I do think he plays, to be honest. So I guess I feel like there is an issue with balance overall in this side. So there's plenty of options to fix that, but I'm not sure what's the right one that they should go for. The issue here is that the overseas players are going to dictate to some extent what that balance looks like. So the four overseas players that I've selected, just to make this easy for everybody, is Chris Gayle. Milan.
Of course, Gayle's got to be there.
Of course he's there. Oh, he deserves it. He played well last
played
year.
Played great last year. He was part of the reason why they turned around. 1-5, and they finished 6-8, and they were within a bee's appendage of making the playoffs. I mean, that was in their own hands to make the playoffs, and they lost one game by one run, one game by two runs. So Chris Gayle was a big part of the reason why they came back.
100%. So Chris Gayle, Milan, and I've got Jai Richardson and Riley Meredith as the four that I am playing in this 11.
Wow.
So I'll just go through them at the top. Openers. We've got Agarwal, Mayank Agarwal, and KL Rahul. I think that's a fair lock.
Yep, from my perspective. Locked in. They scored all their runs last year.
They were great when they KL Rahul. Rahul scored, easily the most runs last year, but still got a lot of criticism, didn't he, from the way strike he batted, rate. Which kind of I think I looked it up. His strike rate was 129, which didn't seem that bad, but. Yeah, I guess if you're batting the whole innings, maybe it's not that great.
But if you're scoring 130, I don't see what the problem is. But yeah, I agree with you. He's got that same kind of criticism throughout this white ball series as well.
Yeah, surprising.
Against England. At 3 and 4, I've got the universe boss Chris Gayle at 3 and Milan at 4. For me, I think that's the best sort of engine room for the runs there that I can see.
So who's opening for you?
We've got Mayank Agarwal and KL Rahul.
Yeah,
in the batting. We've got Gayle and Milan.
Yep.
And then at 5, I've gone with Mandeep Singh. So he is a senior professional that's around the List A first class track there. And I've gone with a pickup at batting at number 6 called Shahrukh Khan. Mm. He's a bit of a dasher. He scores runs very quickly. So he's going to play that closing role for me. Then I'm not particularly a fan of this, but we've got Jai Richardson batting at 7, which bit high for me. But I've got him there. Ravi Bishnoi with his leg breaks.
Yeah, it was good last year, I thought.
Yep, and then the three pace bowlers, Mohammad Shami, Ashdeep Singh, who was my player to watch last year. I think he bowled really well.
He did.
And then Riley Meredith rounding off the 11.
So I've got a couple of questions for you. No room for Chris Jordan, who is a triple threat player in this format of the game. I'd also just say I'm not sure about your man Milan batting as low as 4. I think, particularly if you get off to a good start with Rahul at the top of the order, I just wonder whether someone like that coming in at 3 or 4 can't pick up that scoring rate, potentially if there's spin involved as well. I wonder whether Milan gets in unless he plays the anchor role, and then you've got to drop one of your openers who are pretty well set.
So I guess I'll just answer your first question there on Chris Jordan. He is someone I've left out. Very experienced bowler. I feel with the two Aussie speedsters there, that's who they want to play. They want to play the quick, fast bowlers at this stage. But I would be very surprised if we didn't see Jordan play a big part, especially with his desk bowling and his experience. I don't see him not playing at some stage.
Glenn Maxwell is a big out for Kings this year. I mean, a lot of Indian fans don't have a lot of time for Glenn Maxwell, but he's a match winner.
A lot of Australian fans don't.
That's true. I'm a big Maxwell fan, but I know a lot of people aren't. What impact do you think that will have on the balance of the team and how they go forward?
Look, I think it'd have a massive effect. But the issue that I had with Glenn Maxwell is that he was in that team and he was trying to do everything.
Yep.
He was the star fielder. He was bowling off spin.
He bowled the first over a lot of time.
He was... I'm going to use the word star batsman, but he was a batsman that could win them the game. Mm. He was the one who would go out there and you'd feel like the world was on his shoulders. I think that him going to another team could be a win-win situation for both the team and the players. We're going to see some of the players in the Kings, the Punjab Kings, step up and take some responsibility.
We're going to make that mistake the whole tournament, aren't we?
Well, yeah.
Do you think this is possibly a cricketing version of the Ewing effect, where they'll play better without Glenn Maxwell?
I think so, but remember they did actually play really well towards the end of the season.
Yep.
I think if you take into effect someone like Chris Gayle or having that sort of personality around, it just lifted everybody up. I think they won't make that mistake again.
Yep.
And I think they will play him.
And they've got Nicholas Puran in the shed just in case. Sorry.
Yep. Just to answer Binksy's question first about Milan, I think that what you'll see is you're going to have players there like Chris Gayle, like Agarwal, who are going to hit out or get out. They're going to go after it early. They're either going to score runs or they're going to get out. That brings your David Milan, David Milan into contention as that anchor role. I don't see any reason why he can't accelerate the scoring. He is someone who's got the all-round game.
I think he'll bat at three. I think that either Gayle or Agarwal will bat at four and be a closer. I wouldn't mind seeing six overs of Chris Gayle at the end.
And here's the other thing around balance, as you mentioned it before, Nicholas Puran, he's missing out on my best 11, but yeah, he's held.
And Moises Henriques.
He's held in very high regard. I would be surprised if he doesn't play. So Moises Henriques as well. It depends what they're going to go with.
You got Jordan and Henriques, so you're picking six overseas players.
No, I don't have them in my team.
Okay.
But I'll be surprised if they didn't play at some stage.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to, on that point, I think we're going to see a lot more, particularly at the start of the tournament, these players turning up quite late onto the scene, you know. So we're going to see probably the first 2 weeks, a lot of teams just ironing their 11s out.
The other thing that we're going to see is two or three different bubbles at six different grounds. So I think actually when teams go from ground to ground, we might see very different looks for different surfaces. Whereas in the last sort of version of the IPL we had three different grounds, and so we saw three different kind of looks. And these teams seem to have gone, well, we need to cover a couple of extra bases here because we're going to play a few games on turning surfaces, maybe in Chennai. We're going to play a couple of games on sort of hard, bouncy surfaces, and we might play a couple of games on small grounds. So we've got to have enough kind of coverage.
Yeah, we had Sharjah last year.
Jesus.
Wine's getting to Baldy.
Do you reckon they've had the opportunity to put that kind of planning into place, though? Because last time, they'd pick the squads, and then it changed to the United Arab Emirates, and you'd pick your squad, pick your side to play.
Yeah, I think that hurt CSK more than anybody else. I think CSK based their side on playing at home and playing in spinning conditions, and if they can't do that, they struggle, whereas I think this year they'll be a lot better.
So we diverted a bit, but anything else to add on these guys, Raj, before we move on to predictions?
So I think there was a question in the thing, why can't they win the tournament? I've actually answered that one, why I don't think they can win the tournament. I think that's because they don't have the consistency around their players, and it's gonna really hurt them. They're not going to be able to win. I don't see them winning the important moments of enough games, you know, when you've got someone like Jasprit Bumrah who you need to put away for 20 runs to win the game, or you've got someone like Ben Stokes who's coming flying out of the gates to stop him. I just don't see who can do that consistently against those big players.
So predictions, where are we with the Punjab Kings?
Look, I think that Raj has kind of summed it up for me, and I didn't think much of their side last year, to be fair, and you know, they started they finished really strong last year, and I think seventh is probably about what I can expect for them, just given the strength of the other squads. Agarwal and Rahul just played so well last year, and they still didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to match that again and go even better to get higher than that.
Eight for me.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have them at eight as well. I think the teams around them have got better, and I don't think that they have got measurably better.
Yeah, and I've got them at eight as well. So, yeah, I don't rate them much hope.
I'm looking forward to who Stewie's got at eight.
What does the TAB think, Baldy?
The TAB has them at $11, and they have them finishing eighth as well. So on one thing, I think we're mostly in accord, is that the Punjab Kings may struggle this year.
So, guys, that wraps up part one IPL preview for IPL 14 coming to you from India in 2021. Look out in the feed as we wrap up the other runners and riders in the tournament alphabetically. As we mentioned, we'll have a bit of banter going on the social this year. We'll put our squads and sides up there for your viewing pleasure and mirth at the end of the tournament when we've got it horribly, horribly wrong. But that wraps up this episode. We'll see you for part two very, very soon in the feed. Good night, and God bless from us all here.